I'm Marco Werman with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Let's take the next few minutes and talk about a nation that was here long before the United States was, the Sioux Nation. For weeks, members of the Standing Rock Sioux have gathered in Cannonball, North Dakota, to protest what's known as the Dakota Access Pipeline, a billion-dollar oil project that's aiming to carry over 400,000 barrels of crude a day from North Dakota to Illinois. Its route would take the pipeline under the Missouri River, just upstream from the Standing Rock Reservation. Sioux activists say this would threaten the tribe's drinking water and sacred sites. Hundreds of other tribes in the U.S. and Canada have pledged support for the Sioux Nation. Thousands of activists, in fact, have traveled to North Dakota. Last Friday, a federal judge ruled against an attempt by the Sioux Nation to stop the work. But immediately after that ruling, Washington ordered construction on the pipeline to stop temporarily. Jason Begay is a president of the Native American Journalists Association. He just returned from Cannonball. Begay says the activist demands are straightforward.
They want to be heard. They want to be part of the whole process of the planning of the pipeline. They feel like they did not have any say whatsoever, despite that if anything went wrong, they would be one of the first to be affected.
I mean, this is clearly an important environmental line in the sand, but tell us what makes this such an important movement and moment for Native rights, like for the Standing Rock Sioux.
It's important because, number one, as we saw on Friday, it worked. And that effort, having these tribes come together and do it in a very peaceful way, and this is deliberately peaceful. They know what they are doing. It's very strategized. Everything that when they talk about in groups, that they have to do everything peacefully. They have to do it respectfully. They're being very careful in how they're going to be portrayed in the media because they know this is the age of social media and they're likely going to be placed under a microscope. So this is a very strategized movement, and it's working for them so far.
What kind of proactive approaches have they taken to social media and stating their case?
Yeah, so there are a few different Facebook pages, for instance. I think the most prominent one is called the Sacred Stone Camp page, and I think there's one called the Red Warrior Camp. So what they're doing is they're posting a lot of video, a lot of raw video, a lot of Facebook Live updates, because for the longest time, the supporters who went to gather at the site only heard about it through social media, or at least that's how they felt. Mm. Like, for the first month or so of the movement, people relied entirely on Facebook updates to see what was going on. And then they made the decisions based on that to travel there. And it's only been in the past couple of weeks where mainstream media has really picked up their coverage.
So what started out with only one tribe now includes hundreds of tribes and thousands of activists. Had Native tribes not seen this kind of people power being this effective before? And how has this case influenced other indigenous communities?
A lot of people are going very historic with this and saying that something of this size has not happened since like frontier days, basically. And I'm inclined to agree. I have not seen anything like this in my lifetime. As far as what this means for tribes moving forward, it's hard to say, but I think it speaks very highly that tribes can all get together like this and be focused and concerted and still diplomatic and thoughtful.
So what does the federal government's decision they made last Friday to pause construction, what does that mean for the tribe? Does it suggest Washington could completely stop the pipeline?
I think at first that was the reaction. I mean, what I saw on social media is everybody was praising Obama specifically and saying that he'd stop this. And so now I think we've had a weekend to reflect and everybody's a lot more aware of exactly what happened, which is it was not a permanent stop. It was a temporary stop and it was only temporary for this little stretch of the project. So I think in retrospect, everybody's looking back and realizing that this is far from over, that they're still there. I know of dozens of groups who went there just this weekend to deliver a bunch of donations and offer support. And I'm pretty sure that's going to be the same every weekend until this ends, if it ends anytime soon.
What kind of police presence was at this demonstration?
When I was there last weekend, I didn't see any at all. There was no sheriffs. There was no state police. There was nothing. The group itself, the tribes there, they have security volunteers who patrol the area. In terms of official police at the actual site, I didn't see a single person.
And is that because the police don't have jurisdiction on the reservation? Was this demonstration on the res?
Actually, no. The main campsite is not on the reservation. It is on Army Corps of Engineer land. From what I've been told by local media is that the officials, county officials, the Army Corps, they're taking a very hands-off approach to this, I think, to see what happens and to see how it plays out.
Jason Begay, the president of the Native American Journalists Association. He's also a journalism professor at the University of Montana. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.